Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. I'll make a few comments in the first part of the reading. Some lessons in this parable that won't be touched on in the message, but they're free, no extra charge. All right, Luke 15. 11, a certain man had two sons, Jesus is speaking, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Usually when our heart begins to stray, it's not too long before our feet follow. That's what happened with this young man. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Notice there arose a mighty famine in that land. When you stray from God and you're his, he comes after you. Because he loves us. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Notice the crowds who were glad to be his friends when he was spending the money are nowhere to be found when he's in need. That's the way worldly crowds are. They're your friends as long as you do the same things they do and talk the same way they talk and go the same places they go. But if you change some of those things because some of them are wrong, all of a sudden those friends are hard to find, so to speak. Hard to be found, those so-called friends. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fathers that are here today. It's such a privilege to be a father, such a responsibility. And I thank you for the godly men in our midst here this morning. And Father, they're an encouragement to me. And I pray that you'd help and bless each one of them today. Lord, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to minister the word to your people today. And I pray that as we worship you, once again our hearts would be renewed in the truth of what a wonderful and gracious Father you are to us. And that we, our hearts would yearn for thee and for that fellowship that we have with thee as we walk with you, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for being such a loving, such a forgiving Father. Help each one of us who are fathers to follow in your example and even in the example of this Father you have told about in this parable, in order so that we might learn about your forgiveness and your grace. Help us to follow in these steps and speak to our hearts afresh and anew. And help us each one, we pray. Thank you for the word that's gone forth already. The Sunday school hour for the children and the adults. And songs we've sung, offerings taken, the praise. I pray it's all pleasing unto you. I thank you for each one here. Be with Brother Byron in the nursery watching the children. Help them and fill them. Work in our midst today. If someone is lost and doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray they would trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior and be saved today. And might we all, as believers, have fellowship with you and draw closer to you. Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I pick on Brother Austin. I usually only pick people out that are challenged to me. He's one of those men in the church that sharpens me, and I'm thankful for that witness. And I am thankful for the godly men in this church, and it's very a blessing. I need that. I need that, and I'm so thankful for that. We see a faithful and a forgiving Father this morning. And by the way, if we're going to have a family that stays together, we need this lesson on how to forgive, don't we? Because there's not a greater truth needed. If a family is going to be strong and be one, and a father is going to lead the home, There's not a greater truth that we need than forgiveness. You know why? Because a home is simply two or more sinners brought together to live out their lives together. We're going to offend one another. And if we don't learn how to forgive, there's no hope for the family. There's no hope for the family. So we've seen the message this morning, a faithful and forgiving Father. And we'll learn some things that will challenge us and encourage us as fathers and as Christians, because the application applies to Christians in our associations with one another as well. A faithful and a forgiving Father. As we consider this Father here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is obviously using this Father as an example of God, hence himself. The two sons really are an example of the same. They are sons of the Father. The parable has been used to teach and preach messages of salvation. I'm not against that. It makes a good example for that. But the truth is more closely related to fellowship that believers have with their Father and with the brethren. Both sons are of the Father, and they wanted to have that communion with the Father, and he wanted to have that communion with him and with each other. That's really what the main thrust of the parable is. And so we'll learn from that this morning. First of all, as we look at this parable, we see, first of all, number one, the Father was a man of godly energy. The Father was a man of godly energy. Look what we have here. He says, in verse 12, he says, "Give me the portions of the good that falleth to me." He divided unto them as living. Later on in the chapter there, he says, thinks about going back to his father. He says, "The hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare." So what do we see that's going on there? He says, we see that the father is a hard worker. He was a hard-working provider. He had an inheritance he was going to give his sons. The servants were taken care of. This father was a hard worker. And as fathers, we need to be hard workers. We need to have a good work ethic. We need to be faithful in whatever jobs God gives to us. What is the highest calling for a Christian? The highest calling for a Christian is what God calls you to do and what God calls me to do. There are no jobs exalted one above the other. God calls you to do a certain job. You do that job the best you can for God's glory. And that's your calling and my calling. And we ought to be hard workers. In 1 Timothy 5:14, a while back we had Mother's Day, and we saw that a mother's place is to be keeper of the home. She's to be, the Bible says that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak blasphemy or reproachfully. So the father then is outside the home, and he is to do what? He is to provide for the home. We're talking to the kids in there. Mom and dad cooks those wonderful meals. Or mom cooks those wonderful meals. Most of the time it's mom. And dad's to be making the money to buy the groceries for mom to make those meals. Amen? That's the way the family, God designed that. And I know sometimes there has to be perhaps a double income. Sometimes mom has to. There are exceptions. Let me tell you, the best is dad working and mom at home with the kids as much as possible, because that's what the Bible says. And where there has to be exceptions, God gives grace for those, does he not? Because God knows that. But when we change God's plan because we want more toys, or just a bigger retirement so we can go on vacation more, we are fooling with what God has said is best. And we can't expect better from it. Fathers are to provide. Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thy house. Young man, go out. You're thinking about getting married, get you a place. And by the way, if you can't take care of your own self and meet your own needs and manage your own money, don't bring a wife into it, okay? Don't bring her in and torture her, okay? That's what he's kind of saying there. Become responsible, a hard worker here, and get yourself ready. And then when that family comes, then you'll have that discipline to be that worker. As a father, learn to live within your means. Learn to live within your means. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't God a good father? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. By the way, fathers, let's remember, things aren't the most important thing to the family. The most important thing is God and your relationship with Him. If you love God, and by the way, you love your wife with all your heart, God with all your heart, you pour out yourself as a servant to God, and yes, to your wife, you'll be an example to your children. By the way, an example that money can't buy. And it doesn't matter if you drive the nicest car or have a retirement plan or don't have one at all. God provides our needs. For some, He'll provide that. Others, that may not have that. Most important is the valuable lesson of being content with what we have. That's really foreign to this world if you think about that. You mean, if I never got another thing? If I never had another car? If I never had a different house? If I never was able to go on that vacation? If my health never did get better, I'm supposed to be content with what I have. That's what my Bible says. But the most wonderful thing is, that's possible. You know why? Because of the richness of the Holy Spirit. Think about how I was thinking about this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. That's what my God said. I want to be the happiest and the most joyous I could ever be. Answer, walk with God. And you can have that regardless of how much money you have, regardless of where you live, regardless of how the world treats you or your boss treats you, your family treats you. God says, I will be that fullness of joy. Isn't that wonderful? That what is the best in life, we don't have to pay money for. It's just to know the Lord. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life. It's walking with God, knowing the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, we quoted about being content with what you have. Solomon had the same truth in mind when he wrote Ecclesiastes 6:9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Did you get that? Oh, look at that car. Oh, look at that car. Oh, that one's real shiny. That one. Thank you for this car, God. This car has got me from point A to point B, I don't know how many times. Mine's got AC in it and heat, and it's got all kinds of good stuff. It's got a few deer hairs on the outside stuck in the headlight from when I hit the deer a while ago, but hey, it's a good car. I like it. Being content with what God's given. Some people don't have a car, folks. Some people have to walk. By the way, some people can't walk. Oh, learning to be content. What riches God says that is. Can you imagine coming to a place in our hearts where somebody says, tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. You say to him, oh, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Why? Because of my Father. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That's where we're at in the other study, right? I don't lack. I have everything God deems that I need right now to be content with Him. And so 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Riches. God says, you're walking with me. As you're naming the name of Christ and departing from iniquity, and you're walking with me, and you're content, the Bible says, that is riches the world knows nothing of. And by the way, many Christians don't know much about that either. But God said, it's there for all my children. He doesn't love one of his child above another. He's no respecter of persons in that way. The Bible tells us that. But we have this nature that thinks, well, no, I could really be satisfied with that. Well, that's what you said about the other thing that you had that now you want to replace. Remember? You know what I'm saying? The guy that filled up his barns wanted to tear down and build bigger barns. But I'm sure when he built those other barns, he thought, I'll be satisfied when I fill up these barns. If we use things at hunger, it'll never be satisfied. It's like the dog with the bone looking into the lake and yearning for the bone that dog has. So when he seems to be close enough and the opportunity seems good, he drops his and lunges for that. Guess what? Now both dogs are looking for their bone. Huh? That's the way our old nature can fool us. Learn to live within your means. When the budget is upside down, in other words, when you're, we've often said when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall every time. When your budget's upside down, you got more going out than coming in. The factor that you have the most control over is your expenditures, what you're spending out. That's what you and I have the most immediate control of. So we learn temperance over that. The father was a man of godly energy. Secondly, the father was a man of gracious exhortations. The father was a man of gracious exhortations. This prodigal has left home. He's now spent all that inheritance that the father gave him. But he's come to repentance. I've sinned against heaven, he realizes. And he decides, I'm going to go back to my father. My father's hired servants, they're taken care of. If he'll just receive me back as a hired servant, doesn't have to be a son, I'll be content. He heads back to the father. He rose and came to his father, verse 20, Luke 15. Now picture the father. He must have been watching for him because the Bible says, but when he was yet a great way off. Remember, this father pictures God, pictures Christ. Now think about this. What if he said this when he saw the boy coming? What if he said, what if he could have folded his arms and remained right where he was? He could have said, Well, look who's coming down the road. I wondered how long it'd take for that ungrateful prodigal to come crawling back home. Wait till he sees the work I have in store for him now. He could have said that. He didn't say that. The son's all ready to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy... But the father cuts him off. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Wow. What a welcome. I'll bet the son wasn't expecting that. That was a wise father. He took one look at that son, and he knew he'd been through the mill. He knew he'd been through the mill. What was that father doing? He was showing him, no, you're still of the family. See, no matter how far we may stray, when you're born again, you're still of the family. And the Father, his love for you doesn't change. I left my wallet in a room back there. I had an old dollar bill in it. And it's kind of all crinkled up and torn a little bit and folded, and told the kids, you know, this thing's all beat up. It ain't no good. Nobody's going to want this. How about I just throw it away? But they said, no, don't do that. Well, why not? Well, it's a dollar. It's still worth a dollar. It's always worth a dollar. Whether it's brand new and crisp, whether it's old and wrinkled and faded, it's still worth the same. And once you become a born-again Christian, the Father loves you and your value never changes. You may go out and get beat up and all wrinkled up and crinkly and in sin, whatever you want to say, stray like this young guy did. Didn't change the Father's love for him. Didn't change the Father's love for him. He saw that boy coming. He ran. Saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed him back into the family. Consider the elder. That certainly was a gracious exhortation to that young prodigal. The elder really was a prodigal too. He was just a prodigal in heart. The elder, the young prodigal, was wasting his father's living. The elder prodigal was wasting his relationship with the father, with his attitude. So they're both, in a sense, wasteful prodigals. But the elder here is out in the field, verse 25, and he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. Calls one of the servants, what do these things mean? Verse 27. Thy brother has come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf. He was angry and would not go out. And so what? Look at the end of verse 28. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The father's receiving this prodigal coming down the road. Now he's going out. You know what he could have said to this younger, or this older son, who's being so haughty? He could have said this. Well, you selfish, prideful ingrate. He says, I never disobey thy commandments at any time. You think that's true? That father could have hit him back with the truth. He could have said, you selfish, prideful ingrate. You've disobeyed my commandments multiple times. You have received a double portion. He was the elder, remember? You received a double portion because you're the firstborn. By the way, he had no control over that. And you have all that's left of my entire estate. Your brother has nothing. And you would begrudge him a fatted calf in a celebration. That might what might have been what some of us would have said to that son in that case. But I like this. But how does he answer? Son. Son. Thou art ever with me. I was reading this, and God's graciousness and love to me was just so renewed when I looked at the poise of this Father. Because this is the one Jesus is making represent him and our and God our Father. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry. We'll talk about that some more. My brother was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found. He was dead in the sense of a relationship. Dead, the main idea of death is separation. He was separated from the family when he went out there. The relationship was broken. What a gracious exhortation. Ephesians 6:4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wow. And Colossians 3:21 puts it this way, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What a challenge. What gracious exhortations this father gave to both of those sons, when he certainly could have spoken, we wouldn't argue that they received mercy. They received better than they deserved from their father, didn't they? What a gracious exhortation. And then thirdly and finally, we see this faithful, forgiving father. I guess we're still on the elder here. Still on the gracious exhortations here. Maybe I jumped ahead of myself here. Oh, I think I moved that. Okay. So we're going to go to point three. The father was a man of good expectations. You see, the father, point number three, no doubt longed for the younger son to come to himself and return. We saw that in Luke 15:17. When he came to himself, think about that for a moment. When you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. When you decide to go live for the world, that's not you. That's not for you anymore. The Bible says in Romans that every believer, it says, we have our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's like trying to put gasoline in a diesel engine. You've been converted. It don't work no more, folks. You can try to go back and live to the world and have the quote-unquote fun you had before, but you've been converted. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. He will never leave you. You're stuck with him. I'm as glad about that. I am. And you can't go back the same way. He tried going back and doing those things that would be fun, but that relationship with the Father was still on the mind, still on the heart. And the Bible says, when he came to himself, where was I? What was I thinking? My Father is so gracious, so loving, such a wonderful Father. And here I thought I'd be fulfilled outside of his will. Oftentimes we begin to seek something out. Notice that the son went into a far land. Many times when believers begin to desire the world again and to seek fulfillment there, what's the first thing they do? They leave the church. See, because he could have done maybe that kind of living right where his father was. But that wouldn't be very comfortable, would it? He needed to get far away. And when we stray in our hearts, when believers stray in their hearts, oftentimes the first thing they do is leave church. Why? Because it's not comfortable being around the people who haven't left God. And so the first thing they do is to head out to a far land and disappear. from the congregation. But he came back. The good expectation. The father was looking for him. The father, when this son repented, he said, I will go to my father. See, when he left, he wanted the father's stuff. When he repented, he wanted the father. He just made me the hired servant. If you decide I work for you today and tell me goodbye tomorrow, that's the hired servant. They get rid of many times. That's okay with me. But I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. He wanted the father. And the father must have been praying. He was looking for that son to come back. And when he saw that son, it was time to do just exactly what he did. He welcomed him back in there. So no doubt the father longed for the younger to come to himself and return. And praise God he did. And then we see also in this father's good expectations that no doubt the father longed for the elder to come to himself and rejoice. He says there, This prodigal who's so proud, he's angry, verse 28. He wouldn't go in. Therefore came his father out. What a father. The Son of Man is what? Come to seek and save that which is lost. He comes after us. He came out and treated him. He says, see, answer said to his father, these many years do I serve thee, the transgress guy, at any time thy commandment. You know, oftentimes when we sin against God, it starts because by deceiving our own selves. It certainly does. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Often, sometimes before we stray and become a prodigal, we think God has sold us short, don't we? Oftentimes we'll think, well, God really hasn't given me all that I deserve. That's where the elder son was. He could have been better to me. Look how he was to that Christian. And we get that attitude. It's in there. It's in all of us. It might be more subtle and a little less subtle in some of us, but it's in there. God's let me down somehow. You never gave me a kid. Then he says, he goes on, but as soon as this thy son was come, what's he saying? He's kind of trying to say that because this is the father's son, the father's somehow to blame. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We blame God. When we're getting ready to walk away from him. We're not happy with the way things are going. A problem comes. We're not happy with the way things are going in our life. Well, I'm suspicious of God. Why is he not being so good to me? I don't know if I want to remain faithful in this Christian thing. This going to church and reading my Bible. And this, when this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. As if the father was somehow to blame for that, for how the son lived. And he says unto him, listen to this, son. What did the elder son say? As soon as thy son was come, he says, you're my son too. But I don't think the father said that sarcastically. This father is representing Jesus Christ and God in the parable. Jesus meant it that way. I think he said it in all sincerity and truth. And in his love toward that son, he said, son. Son. After all those accusations fly, his reply, son. And what's he say? He goes on, he says, son, thou art ever with me. Look at this fellowship that we've had. Your brother's been gone how long? We didn't know if he is dead or alive.
I love your brother.
Don't you love your brother too? Haven't you seen me sitting at the table, praying and weeping, looking for him to come home? Look at how good I've treated you. Don't you want your brother to come home? Even for me, knowing it'd give me joy. And by the way, he's my son, the dearest brother. Think of what he's been through. This prodigal comes back. He doesn't even have shoes on his feet. By the way, that was a sign of abject poverty. The only one in a family in that culture that didn't wear shoes was a slave. They were property. They didn't need to buy them shoes. He's so poor, he doesn't even have shoes. He says, your brother has been reduced to abject poverty. Don't you think he's been worked over enough? What more do you want? And by the way, you have a double portion. All that I have is thine. I read one commentator said he got everything back, his inheritance and all that. That's not what my Bible says. The culture says the elder son got a double portion, the other son got his portion, and the father tells the elder son, all that I have is thine. The younger son lost his inheritance. He didn't get it back. And he's saying, you have everything that I have, and you can't just have a celebration with your brother. He's willing just to be a servant. He's not requiring any inheritance. He just wants to be. What a thought. He had good expectations. See, all the way the father imagined the Spirit working on the heart of this elder son. Oh my goodness. If that doesn't break his heart, I don't know what would. Because the father, even though the elder son is just as wrong as the younger son, the father's love is just the same for the elder son as it was for the younger son. It's just as strong. What an amazing thing. Don't you love him? Don't you miss your brother? You know, I think about how this father answered both of his sons. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, what's it say? And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The father didn't have a rebuke, a vengeful, sarcastic answer for the elder son or the younger son. There was no upbraiding. There was no chiding. There was, you need this help. I'm here. And that gracious answer. What a father we have. What a father we have. He says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Notice he says, it was meet. That means fitting, right, necessary. It was right and proper. It was necessary. In other words, this is what we must do with your younger brother to be right. It's not, I'm just feeling gracious. No, it's the right thing to do. Why is that? Because this son, this younger son, has truly repented. He's come to abject poverty. Where else can he go? He's gone down as far as he can go. He needs lifted up now. And what the father is saying, come on, elder son, have a part of this with me. This is what we must do now with your brother. It was the right thing to do. And I want you to be a part of it. And oh, those words that he said and the love that he showed to that elder son. I don't know what could work on his heart more than that to show him that he ought to rejoice and they ought to have a part in having this party with the younger son. He'd been chastened. Absolutely. It was meet. It was fitting.
You say, but preacher, in closing, but when I read my Bible, I don't know that the elder son ever repented.
Well, remember this father in this parable Jesus made to picture himself, made to picture God.
My Bible tells me, records that the first father to have two children go astray was God.
Was it not? God had two children.
They both went astray.
We must not have been a very good father if he had two prodigals. The first father to have two children go astray was God, folks. And yet he offered the same forgiveness, what, to them both, didn't he? To them both. And that's what God calls you and I to do as fathers.
We need to lead in this thing, especially of forgiveness in the family.
Being forgiving as God deals with sins. Forgiving offenses and seeking forgiveness. Because without forgiveness in a home, without that flourishing and being strong, there is no hope for the home. Because we're imperfect people. Isn't God a wonderful God? He is a wonderful, loving Father. I was humbled once again as I read this, thinking about God's grace and mercies. How well Jesus spoke this parable to picture the very love, forgiveness, acceptance, wisdom, the gracious compassion and exhortation of God in helping you and I to walk with Him. I'm thankful for fathers in here today. And I'm thankful because I know many of you, and I know most of you. And I know that you're being examples, and that you're praying for your family and for your loved ones. And it's my prayer that God keeps us strong, amen, and keeps us walking that right path. And God showed me some things, you know, and just this week I had some wrong attitudes and things, and God was compassionate with me for a few days. And I get wrong attitudes at times, you know, and I hang on to them. You shouldn't. And God, He was like this with me. And I repented, got that right. And I was closing the door the other day. And I caught on something, and it was a shoe or something there. And I pulled on it, and I had my head down, and it smacked me right there. And you know what it was like to me? I was already, the joy was back. I'd already repented. And I thought, that was my father going like this. Dummy. You know that being by my side's where it's at all along. Why did you stay away as long as you did? That's what it meant to me. And as I had my head down, and I just kind of smiled. And it was like, I love you, God. I love you. And I thank you for your watch care over me. I thank you that you care that I don't stray. And you come after me when I start to do that. God's a wonderful God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love and mercies, and I thank you for your goodness. You are watching over us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and you never have, and you never will. Lord, you are a good, good Father, and we have all that we need. Dear God, one day we're going to be in your presence in fullness of joy. No doubt like we've never known when we see you. Full of praise. And as we sang that song, lost in wonder and love and praise as we stand before you. We're going to be speechless for a while, no doubt. But Lord, I thank you. We have that to look forward to. But I thank you too that
you have shown us clearly we can walk with you now, and we can and do. And Father, we enjoy that fullness of the Spirit that you have for us when we do. And we know that there's a work going on inside of us that no money can buy. There's a comfort you provide us that no thing can offer, and even no other being but you. And Father, we thank you and praise you. And I pray for fathers today. What an opportunity we have to be a reflection as best we can be of your love to us. And Father, help each one and bless them in that today. Bless the plans for the day that some have made, and help them to have a good day. And Father, encourage fathers and all of them and all your family, dear God, in this thing of walking with you and forgiveness one to another. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.